to a lot of people, it seems like we're kind of living in a sci-fi movie, like the Invasion of the Body Snatchers or something, where every day more people, especially young people, are being brainwashed into this radical cultish ideology.
Matt Walsh of The Daily Wire talking about his presentation at the 2020 Virtual Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
One that divides people based on race, militates against the family, keeps scorn on our history and our national heroes, denies basic truth, science, objective morality, all of that is denied. But how do we engage with this movement? How do we confront it? And how do we defeat it?
You can watch Matt Walsh at this year's Virtual Making the Case Conference, Friday, July 24th and Saturday, July 25th. Conference registrants can watch live or at their convenience. Learn more and register at issuesetc.org or call 618-223-8385. The 2020 Virtual Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference. Thanks to Joshua in Canton, Ohio, Nancy in Melbourne, Florida, Robert in Pipestone, Minnesota, James in Strongsville, Ohio, and Dale in Lakeway, Texas for registering in the last 24 hours for the 2020 Virtual Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference. The premier conference for Christian laity is Friday, July 24th and Saturday, July 25th. It's an opportunity for you to watch Mark and Molly Hemingway, Brian Wolfmiller, Matt Walsh, Hans Feeney, and Robert George. The $135 registration fee allows for both live and on-demand viewing. You'll find a conference schedule and you can register at issuesetc.org or give us a call, 618-223-8385. The 2020 Virtual Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference. The Hyde Amendment has been with us for 44 years, almost from the time of Roe v. Wade. It has prohibited federal funding for abortion. It is threatened, not this time around, not quite now, but in the future, especially if the Democratic Party, who has suddenly come out very strongly against it over the last couple of years, has their way. Joining us to talk about the Democratic Party and the Hyde Amendment, Kristen Day, Executive Director of Democrats for Life of America, based in Washington, D.C. Kristen, welcome back.
Oh, thank you so much for having me on today.
Before we talk about the Hyde Amendment, I'd like your reaction to the recent Supreme Court decision to strike down the Louisiana law that would have required abortionists to have hospital admitting privileges that was sponsored and signed into law by pro-life Democrats in Louisiana.
I was so proud of the pro-life Democrats in Louisiana for really looking out for women's health. The law was just trying to bring in line the abortion doctors with all other doctors in the state. So it was just unconscionable that the Supreme Court ruled to make women's health less safe and not on par with men's health. So, and, you know, if a man goes in for a vasectomy or any sort of surgery, the doctor would have to have admitting privileges. But if a woman goes in to get an abortion, the doctor doesn't have to have any admitting privileges and the ability to keep the woman safe. It was just unconscionable that the Supreme Court ruled that way.
What is the Hyde Amendment?
So the Hyde Amendment prevents federal funds from being used to pay for abortion. Pretty much that simple.
In the latest round of negotiations over appropriations, why don't Democratic leaders want to deal with the Hyde Amendment issue right now?
Well, they know it's highly unpopular. A majority of people in this country support the Hyde Amendment, and so any effort to overturn it at this point, you know, this close to an election, would rile up the masses in saying this is wrong. If you look at any poll, most people do not want federal funds being used to pay for abortion.
Representative Judy Chu is quoted by Politico saying, abortion access is a right. That means it should not be available just to those who can afford it. House Democrats have done more than ever before to protect the rights of all women, and I believe that that should include the ultimate repeal of the Hyde Amendment. How do you respond to her?
I saw that yesterday, and it just struck me, because she obviously knows nothing about who goes and seeks abortion. A majority of women who go seek abortion are poor, and they feel like they don't have any choice. They feel like they don't have the resources to care for the baby. They don't feel like there's enough support out them to make this decision to parent. Poor women are backed into this corner to go and have abortions. So she's completely wrong on her assessment of saying that only rich women can go get abortions. The fact is vast majorities of women who seek them are poor. So it's just, I was so stunned by her lack of understanding. If she really wanted to do something to support women, she should be looking at healthcare clinics that provide support and resources for poor women to have children. You know, if she really cared about poor women, she would say that poor women should have the right to have a child and not feel like they have to kill it. So she's just completely wrong on it.
So in other words, she is under the misimpression, or at least giving the misimpression, that poor women don't have access to abortion, when in fact the truth is women have abortions because they're poor.
You're right. So if you look at the history of Planned Parenthood, you know, its founder, Margaret Sanger, her whole purpose was to target the poor and saying that poor women who are going to bring babies into this world who couldn't afford them should not have them. That was her whole point of birth control and, you know, and Planned Parenthood's continuing on that trajectory of saying that poor women should just have abortions because they'll never amount to anything if they have a baby. Margaret Sanger in the, you know, in the early Planned Parenthood, they were targeting, one of her quotes, more from the fit, less from the unfit, meaning that poor women shouldn't have babies. And I think that's exactly what the congresswoman was saying yesterday. We should pay for poor women's abortion because they shouldn't have children.
Why do Planned Parenthood and NARAL want the Hyde Amendment to go away?
They want it to go away because it's more money in their pockets. So if they can get more federal dollars for the abortions and other people paying for it, then they'll get more money in their pockets. It's all about the corporate interests of the abortion industry. You know, that's why they're trying to get rid of regulation. That's why they want more money, you know, coming from the federal government to pay abortions. They don't care about women, because if they did care about women and that was their main purpose, they would want abortion to have safety and health regulations, which they don't, because they don't. I mean, like, a lot of corporations try to get rid of regulations governing their industry. So they're no different from anyone else, except for the fact that what they're doing is making women less safe.
Planned Parenthood already receives an estimated $500 million annually from the government. How do they get around the Hyde Amendment?
So in some states, they do allow state funds to be used for abortion. Several states do allow it. But they're claiming that they're using this money for other purposes. They're saying that they're segregating funds, so it's only going for, say, birth control or other health issues that women come to Planned Parenthood for, which majority of their services are abortion, though. So their whole fungibility argument just does not work for me. I don't think they should be getting any federal funding. I think we should be putting the federal funding toward helping women not seek abortion and giving women real choice.
Vice President Joe Biden, running for president, has been a longtime supporter of Hyde. He announced that he's changed his position. He said last year, just about this time, if I believe health care is a right as I do, I can no longer support an amendment that makes that right dependent on someone's zip code. How do you explain his change of mind?
Oh, it's so disappointing to have him say that. I just, you know, one day, it was a flip-flop in one day. One day he said, yes, I support the Hyde, and then he must have just come under tremendous pressure to do this amazing flip-flop, saying that he's okay with federal funds being used to take the lives of unborn children. It was super disappointing to hear him say that, because we thought at least one of the people running for president would be open to pro-life Democrats and our point of view and understanding that this consistent position is, you know, of pro-life for the whole life is one that our party should be taking as a whole. So it was just a huge disappointment to see him just cower to the abortion lobby.
Not only regarding Hyde, but do you think that Biden's position has shifted farther in support of abortion on demand since he began running for president?
Oh, yes, absolutely. He has just really, really moved into the abortion rights corner and has turned his back on the pro-life Democrats. We have asked for the opportunity to testify before the platform committee, and he has not responded to us or indicated that he will give us an opportunity to do this. We have a petition on change.org now asking for people to sign on to our petition, encouraging the vice president to move back on this abortion extremism, because a majority of the country and a majority of Democrats do not agree with it. So we're going to put pressure on him to at least consider hearing our point of view and trying to push him back on this, because the direction he is going is not good for women.
In addition to that, Kristen, until very recently, the Hyde Amendment has enjoyed fairly healthy support from both parties and has been considered one of the safest things in the appropriations bill. It usually always made it through, even with support of Democratic presidents. What has changed in the Democratic Party that they're now willing to openly talk about eliminating the Hyde Amendment?
Yeah, I think the abortion issue has just become so incredibly partisan. It has really shifted to a direction where the Democratic Party is almost intolerant of anybody who thinks that a baby in the womb is worthy of protection and health care. The intolerance within the party is just so discouraging. We have a representative in Tennessee who was removed from the ballot by the local Democratic Party because he is pro-life, and they removed him from the ballot before he could put his name on as an independent. So he's been in the state house for, I think, 14 years, and they tried to defeat him at the ballot box, and when they couldn't do it, they removed him from the ballot. We have another member who in Ohio who's being threatened with censure because he suggested that they write Black Lives Matter in front of the abortion clinic where a lot of black babies are killed. You know, so we're hearing these stories of just targeting against pro-life Democrats. And so there's just an intolerance and a discrimination against anybody who supports the Hyde Amendment or who thinks babies, unborn babies are worthy of protections and their mothers are worthy of support. It's very discouraging to see this just very angry response to pro-life Democrats.
If the Hyde Amendment were eliminated, what would happen?
Planned Parenthood would get a lot more money. The abortion lobby would become even stronger. It would not be good for women.
Should pro-life Democrats derive any hope from the Democratic leaders' hesitancy to touch the Hyde Amendment at this time?
I think it's political. If they felt they could get through the Senate, they would pass it. They would eliminate it. I think they realize right now they don't have the votes to do it, and they know that a fight on the Hyde Amendment would hurt them in the election. So I think we can take encouragement from that, and we need to make sure that we start speaking out more. I have been telling pro-life Democrats, you have to have your voice heard, you have to speak out, and they have been so afraid because of the pushback from their own party of silencing them, but I'm encouraged by the number of people who are coming out and joining Democrats for Life. We've established a youth outreach committee. We established a candidate outreach committee to try to recruit pro-life Democrats to run. We're just the number of volunteers who are coming out to really expand our voice within the party is encouraging to me because the party has just gone too far.
Kristen Day is Executive Director of Democrats for Life of America based in Washington, D.C. Learn more about Democrats for Life at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Talk on Demand Archives. Kristen, thank you and keep up the good work.
All right. Thank you so much.
Wesley Smith will be with us on the other side of the break. We're going to talk about two issues, the quality of life ethic that is being used more and more in healthcare. We'll also talk about the ethics of blocking puberty in children who believe themselves to be transgendered. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. You can watch and hear Mark and Molly Hemingway, Robert George, Matt Walsh, Brian Wolfmiller, and Hans Feeney at the 2020 Virtual Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference. Making the Case is Friday, July 24th and Saturday, July 25th. All paid registrants will have the ability to watch the conference live and on demand. For more information, visit issuesetc.org or give us a call 618-223-8385.
Your church's chrismons are from the 80s. They're made of styrofoam, their glitter is shedding, and they're held together with toothpicks. Now is the perfect time to replace them with Ad Cruisman's Christmas in July sale. Participating artists have discounted their products, so stock up on jewelry, crucifixes, art, church banners, music, greeting cards, and more. Discounts range from 10 to 50% off. Visit us at adcruisman.com to take advantage of the sale. That's ADCRUCEM.com.
Greetings and God's blessings from Faith Lutheran Church and Preschool in Marinette, Wisconsin. It is our sincere hope and prayer that you would be edified by God's word as we gather together to receive his gifts in the historic liturgy of the church. Join us Sundays for divine service at 9 a.m. at the corner of County Road T and Irving Street, just a block south of the roundabout here in Marinette. You can contact us at 715-735-6506 on Facebook or at our website, www.faithmarinette.org.
Looking for a foreign language program that will revolutionize your students' vocabulary knowledge and their understanding of grammar? How about a program that teaches critical thinking skills, too? Look no further than Memoria Press's Latin curriculum. Students of all ages can use these Latin study programs. Give your students the gift of Latin today. To order, visit memoriapress.com and save $5 on your next order by using the coupon code LPR20. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time.
Defending life from beginning to end. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
I think every man, every Christian should consider, at least, the possibility of God calling him into the holy ministry.
Issues, Etc. regular guest, Dr. Carl Fekencher of Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Because that's the way that God has designed for faith in Christ Jesus to be spread, for the gift of eternal life that Christ Jesus earned by his death and resurrection to be shared with people, by the washing of baptism for infants and for adults, for the instruction, the proclamation of the word that happens on a nonstop basis in God's kingdom. God uses people, he uses men to be those proclaimers, to be those men who share the sacraments.
If you've ever considered becoming a pastor, contact Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Their phone number, 1-800-481-2155, 1-800-481-2155, or visit ctsfw.edu.